Well, good morning, everyone. As you see, we have the baptismal set up this morning, so that's pretty exciting. We've got five people being baptized today. So today is really a day of celebration where five people have made a commitment to follow their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we should all be celebrating with them. And so I'm very excited about that. We'll go downstairs afterwards, have a meal together. It's just going to be a great day, great morning. I was recently looking back at a video of my son Owen's baptism day that Pastor Nate took a video testimony. I was going back and listening to my son's testimony, and it's something I'll always treasure. It's something that it was the day that he really made a commitment to the Lord, and we should all remember back on that day that you were baptized. And I hope and pray that everyone here that is being baptized today will also remember what a special day that is. It's one of the high points in a believer's life. Baptism is a public declaration of faith in Jesus Christ and a testimony of a desire to rise from their death and into life, into the newness of Jesus Christ. And I think it's perfect timing in having a baptism celebration on a Sunday when we are discussing the keys to spiritual growth. Last Sunday, we went over some of these keys. They'll be up on the screen. We went over the first three keys. And I just want to say that there was sort of a transition between after New Year's. I was like, well, we're going to start a new sermon series next week on the book of Romans. So I was like, well, what can I speak about as I was praying? And I sort of was led to these seven spiritual keys. And I thought I would get it done in one sermon. Then I realized after I was starting to write the first one, I'm like, I'm not going to get this done in one sermon. So now I'm here on the second one, and I still don't think I had enough time to get them all in. But I'm going to do my best and do it as quickly as possible. And throughout the year, we'll keep discussing these. But the first key that we spoke about last week was Bible engagement, which is reading your Bible, being in the Scriptures. Second one was discipleship. Third one was serving. Those were the first three we spoke about last week. The fourth one that we'll speak about today is exercising faith. And the fifth is obeying God. The sixth is building relationships. And the seventh is prayer. Now, as I said last week, we only had time to go over the first three keys. And I went over how important it is for every believer to actually take time to read God's Word. If you want to hear from God, and you want to know His purpose for your life, then you need to be in His Word. Because His Word is living and it's breathing. It's always showing you something new for your life. We also went over the importance of discipleship. A disciple, as you remember, is simply being a student. Every believer in Christ, whether you are an elder or a little child who has just come to faith in Jesus Christ, is a disciple. And to grow in righteousness of the Lord, we need to be discipling one another. In order to do that, we need to be here, as I talked to the children just a few minutes ago, and take part in Sunday morning services, and especially discipleship classes, small group studies, as we get those going throughout the year. And I'm not trying to be harsh, because I understand that we have things that come up, like vacations to go on and family events. That happens for all of us, and it's important that we take those times. But in order for us to grow individually as believers and as a church, the first step of discipleship is, again, showing up. Discipleship is just not for you. Others are counting on you to disciple them as well, so we can go out and fulfill the Great Commission of making even more disciples for the kingdom and growing the church. That's why discipleship is so important. And the third key we went over last week was on serving. I didn't spend a lot of time on serving. I wish I could have, but we ran out of time. But I didn't really have to, because over these last few months, this church has really, really stepped up in the area of serving. One area that I did point out, though, when it comes to serving last week, is that serving someone else or the church is not just a benefit for those you are serving. Scripture teaches us that the benefit of serving is mainly for you, which will help you overcome the temptations of the flesh and of the world when you're serving God his church and other people. Now this week we're going to go over the last four spiritual keys to growth. Now due to, again, a lack of time, you're going to notice that I may spend a little more time discussing a certain key over another. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pay attention to these other keys that I don't spend as much time on discussing, but there are a couple keys that we will spend more time on that I believe are critical for every believer to grow closer to their Savior, Jesus Christ, and to live a life that He has called us to live. We will start with this fourth key on spiritual growth, which is exercising faith. And now this past week, I had my granddaughter's first birthday party at our apartment complex that Aaron and I live in. And the apartment complex has a really nice clubhouse that we had my granddaughter's party in. And within this clubhouse is a really, really nice exercise room with fairly expensive and modern exercise equipment. And as I was showing guests around the nice clubhouse and patio and pool area, we would come across this exercise room. And I had one person tell me how great it was that I didn't have to have a gym membership and I had this nice exercise room here. And I sort of just bowed my head and shamefully said, well, I wouldn't know. I haven't really used it yet. But I really should start using that exercise room more. We are a society that places a lot of emphasis on our physical well-being, in which we should be. God gave us these bodies, and we should take care of them. Exercising is an important part of taking care of our physical bodies. But as believers, we need to be exercising our faith just as much, if not more. Part of this exercise of exercising is simply taking part of the other six keys that we're discussing. But exercising faith goes even deeper than just doing something or doing a list of things. Last week I said faith, oftentimes described in Scripture, isn't a passive faith. It's an active faith. It means jumping in the water or even walking on the water, even though you may be afraid. You do it anyway because you trust in Jesus. You trust that Jesus will be there to pick you up if you fall, even if you start to sink. Which reminds me of the account where Peter walked on water. Now, the scripture should be up on the screen, but if you want, you could turn to Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. And I want to read this account together of Peter's faith while he walked on the water. And I know sometimes that people can interpret this account and use it as an example of Peter's lack of faith. Because as we, if some of you remember, he sank. But I think this account of Peter walking on water teaches us all something very important concerning the kind of faith that God wants us to exercise. Now let's read this account together. Starting in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14, it says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, and after he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat and the wind died down, then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Now, after reading this, we pick up quickly on a few main points in these scriptures. First, Peter did get out of the boat, and he did walk on the water for at least a moment. But then he got afraid, he got scared. Jesus rescued him. And basically at that point, sort of rebuked him for having little faith. I think when we quickly read through this account, it's easy to miss the bigger points of what happened here. And if we miss it, we could miss a spiritual truth that can help us all exercise our faith. First, we need to notice that even before Peter walked on the water, the wind and the waves were already pretty violent. It says that before Peter even stepped out of the boat. Secondly, when the disciples were all in fear, they thought they saw a ghost walking on the water. And Jesus immediately commanded them to be of courage and to not be afraid. Now, Peter is the only one that responds and says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me and I will come out to you on the water." And then Peter gets out of the boat and begins walking towards Jesus. It's interesting that Peter became afraid only when he saw the wind and began to sink. We know that Peter couldn't see the wind, but it was probably the waves coming up and, you know, feeling the wind blowing really hard and crashing all around Peter. But the more interesting part to me in all of this is the fact that the wind was already blowing and the waves were already crashing before Peter even got out of the boat. But a few minutes after that, getting out of the boat, Peter really began to notice it. Now, we know that Peter was a fisherman by trade. So he was probably sailed in many storms before. Storms on the water were probably nothing new to Peter as a fisherman. But walking on the water while the wind and the waves are crashing and blowing violently, that's something Peter never experienced before. As I stated, we tend to focus on the part where Peter gets afraid, sinks, and has Jesus rescue him and tells him, "You have little faith." Now, I'm not contradicting Jesus at all while saying this, because Peter had a lot of faith to get out of the boat. Peter had faith because when he called out to ask if it was Jesus standing there on the water and Jesus said, "Come," Peter simply took the step of faith onto the water and got out of the boat. But I wonder if Peter actually knew in that moment that he would be walking on the water. Now, this is just my opinion, but I don't think he really did. I think Peter heard Jesus say, "Come," and he trusted Jesus to save him no matter what. So he stepped out, not knowing exactly what would happen. Peter just knew if he started to drown, Jesus would be there to save him. Peter still got out of the boat, but Peter realized while he was walking on the water that the waves were picking up, or they were still going, and that's when he noticed him and he began to sink. As a follower of Christ, Jesus is going to ask us to come and get out of the boat, just like Peter. For many people, that seems to be the hardest part. So they freeze and decide to do nothing. They are afraid because Jesus may be asking them to do something that they have never done before. But getting out of the boat and taking a couple steps on the water was actually the easy part for Peter. He had to exercise his faith after that. It was walking on the water while the wind and the waves were blowing hard that was the hard part. And the truth is, you're never going to experience the amazing things Jesus has for your life until you face your fears and get out of the boat. Even if you have some doubts, keep your eyes focused on Jesus and get out of the boat anyway, as Peter did. And when that wind and those waves of life pick up, continue to keep focused on Jesus. That's the part where Peter messed up. His focus shifted to the waves and the wind. I'm sure as Jesus, though, bent down to reach out his hand to pick up Peter out of the water, Jesus was so proud, even as he was correcting him and saying, "You have little faith," he was so proud of Peter because he got out of the boat and trusted Jesus that day. Jesus is going to ask every believer to take a risk, to do something they may feel uncomfortable doing for his kingdom. He may ask you to serve in a ministry that you know nothing about. I remember first starting off being a youth pastor, and I had, as Kai was saying in announcements, we had a ministry fair, and my wife signed me up for youth ministry. And I was like, I didn't know what I was doing. But I took the step and said, okay, I'll show up. Got out of the boat. We got to start there. This is the exercising faith. It is only when Jesus will give the power to walk, it's only time that Jesus will give you the power to walk on the water, is taking that step. You will then do even more amazing things than Peter did. Jesus said that. He says in John chapter 14, verse 12, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." The more you start obeying Jesus and doing what he asks you to do instead of what you want to do, you will experience the fullness of Christ in your life. And again, that's not going to happen with passive faith. It has to be active. It takes action. Now this leads us to the fifth key of spiritual growth, which is obeying God. No Christian has ever really learned a commandment, as we talked about the commandments, some of them today, with the children. No Christian has ever really learned a commandment of God until they have obeyed it. That's when you start learning the commandments of God. The real test in being a Christian is not how much work you are doing or even how much biblical knowledge you have. All that, which we have discussed in the previous four keys, is just keys to help you, so you can grow in obedience to God. Anyone who has children desires their child to be obedient. Obedience, as I told the kids, is not a bad word or a bad thing, even if our culture at times tries to make it that. Obedience is something we all desire deep in our souls, and we want to teach our children to be obedient members of society, but most importantly, to be obedient to God. But we only desire to be obedient when we know the one who has called us to be obedient is good. It's certainly not desirable to be obedient to someone who is not good. For instance, Adolf Hitler was a bad man, and it came to a point where there had to be some disobedience to stand up to him. It was necessary. But if you were a good parent, a child will learn how much you love them, and they will grow in love with you. And the more that love grows within the child towards the parent, the more obedient they will become towards the parent. The parent desires obedience because they know what is best for their child. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." Now, Jesus is not saying this to take his love away from us through our disobedience. He is saying that to be obedient is to remain in his love. As we remain in his love, we remain obedient. So don't walk away from it. Don't walk away from his love. And when the enemy of our souls comes to try to steal it from us through temptations of the flesh or the world, again, remain in Jesus' love to stay obedient. In dealing with temptations, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We grow in our love for Jesus by staying in his word, through serving, exercising our faith. And as we are going to be talking about next, loving others, building community and prayer. The more you love, your love for God grows in your heart, the more you're going to obey him. And the more you obey him, the more blessings you're going to experience in your life. Now, this doesn't mean that pain and suffering won't come upon you from time to time. But when it does, you will experience more of Jesus than you ever have done before. Obedience is a big part of our walk with God. And God will not show himself through you or through this church without us being obedient to him. And that obedience, again, begins and ends in love. Now, we're getting close to the end here because we're going to do the baptismal. And I wish I did have more time, but we will continue hitting on these points throughout the year. But let me briefly hit on a few last points on the two last keys of spiritual growth. The sixth key is building relationships. If we're going to grow spiritually strong in the Lord while walking with him, we are going to have to evaluate our relationships with others. Community with God includes being in community with other believers. Because God is all about community. However, we also need to evaluate who we spend most of our time hanging out with. Do we spend most of our time with the community of believers, or are we hanging out mostly with people who do not want anything to do with God? Now, don't get me wrong about this. Don't take that the wrong way. We are told by Christ to go out and make more disciples for his kingdom and to shine his light in this fallen world. And we can never do that if we're never around unbelievers. Christians need to put themselves out there to be the salt and the light of the world. But a Christian cannot expect to build up spiritual strength in the Lord, to be equipped, if all we're doing is hanging out constantly with unbelievers and not with the body of believers, because the body builds us up. I'm going to share a verse here that's going to sound maybe a little harsh and maybe even a little disrespectful to unbelievers, but that's not the point. It's really this verse is not directed at unbelievers. This verse is directed at believers. It's in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Now, that's not to say that there aren't any Christians who have done foolish things. I know I have done some foolish things in my life as a Christian in the past. However, the more a Christian is around other believers who are walking with the Lord together, we will naturally, even supernaturally, begin to grow spiritually together as we follow the Lord together. Let me simply put it this way. Whether we like it or not, we tend to act more like the people we are continually hanging out with most of the time. This doesn't mean we lose our individual personalities, but the more you hang out with a certain person or a group of people, you will begin acting more and more like them. Now, for instance, in my hometown of Chicago, all my family is from Chicago. Whenever I go back to visit them, I try to get back there at least once or twice a year, and I start noticing after maybe an hour or two that my voice starts rising. I start yelling at people, and I use my hands a lot. And that's not all a bad thing. My daughter-in-law, for instance, she's from Wyoming, and the first time she came out to Chicago, she thought I was loud. She goes, "You're loud." And I said, "Oh, just wait." And we went back to Chicago, and she's sitting at the kitchen table, and all my brothers and sisters in there. Within probably a half hour, she had this look of shock on her face, and she turned to me and whispered, she goes, "You are totally right. You are the quiet one in the family." But the point is when I'm around my brothers and sisters, I don't change who I am as a Christian, but my voice starts to rise, my hands start moving around, and I start acting more and more like that. And that's not always a bad thing. But the same holds true for people in the church. We are all individuals who have our own gifts given to us by God. We have our own personalities. But when we have the same common interest as disciples, to make more disciples and to be faithful to God, we begin to build up in the community together with Jesus at the center of it. And when Jesus is at the center of our community, guess who we start becoming more like? Jesus. That's the point of community. We will start working for the Lord with all our hearts and loving God and loving others, unbelievers, as Jesus did. We can't expect to do that if we're not in community. When believers are together, we can encourage one another to continue doing the work of the Lord, to love better, and to do good works for God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider how we spur one another on in love, on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We need to be together. And it starts meeting together once a week on a Sunday morning and continues on building friendships within the church body, hanging out with each other, and most importantly, encouraging one another, building each other up in the Lord. Now, the last key to spiritual growth, and I'm just going to just take a minute on this one, although this deserves its own sermon all on its own, maybe a couple. It's on prayer. I know it seems strange that I only spend a minute on this, but prayer is so important in the lives of a believer. God's power has to be the central aspect of our lives as Christians, and that requires us all to be praying, as individual believers and as a church. Our prayer meetings, as was in the announcements, are on Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m., and I would encourage everyone to attend those meetings. Because the fact of the matter is we are not going to be successful as a church, even if we follow these other six keys perfectly. We are not going to be successful as a church if we're not in prayer. Because God's power has to be working through each one of us and through this church. And when that does, and we're following those keys that I listed out, and I'm sure there's many other keys, but those six specific keys that I listed out, when we're doing that together and praying with God's power, then we start seeing miracles happen. Things that we could never do. So anyway, that's all we had time for today. And I know I hit a lot of points on a very short time. Next week, I would encourage you all to attend as we go through the book of Romans together. And that's going to be like a 6 or 7 week series. So that's going to be a really exciting time. And as we get ready to baptize people and start the foundations of faith in a couple weeks, going through Romans is one of the most important books in the Bible because it's really the foundations of our faith. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you again for the people that are going to be baptized here in a moment, Lord. We know that you're celebrating with us. And Lord, I would just pray that just to help us to follow these keys that we went over these last 2 weeks, to help us grow in you, to grow in love more and more with you, Lord. Because I know, Lord, as we love you more, the righteousness that you want for each of our lives and within this church will grow even more. And people in this community will begin to know you through us. And that is what the commission of the church is. That is the mission that you have given us. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will always be present here, will always be present in every believer. And just bless us, bless the children, and bless the remaining part of this service as we baptize these five individuals that we know you love so dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Sacrament of baptism. Baptism is not in itself the door to salvation, but rather it is an outward sign of the new birth which God has wrought in your heart. It proclaims to all the world that you have taken Christ, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior for all your life, and that it is your purpose to always obey him in order that we may hear your testimony of what God has done for you, and that we may know that you understand the significance of the step you are taking. We want you to answer these questions. You can all answer together. Do you believe in the God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ, the Son, suffered in your place on a cross, that he died but rose again, that he now sits at the Father's right-hand side until he returns to judge all people at the last day? And do you believe in the Holy Scriptures as inspired Word of God, that by the grace of God, every person has the ability and responsibility to choose right and wrong, and that those who repent of their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by faith. Just say, I believe.
I believe.
Do you intend by this act to testify to all the world that you are a Christian and that you will be loyal follower of Jesus Christ? Say, I do. All right, so I'm going to give you guys all a chance to say a few words. Just tell me, like, why are you wanting to be baptized today?
Because I love him. He is my Savior, and he died for me.
Okay, so for me, I'm going to go along with what Mike is talking about today, about getting off the boat and taking that step. My entire life, I have believed in God and know he was there, but I always wanted to live my way, not God's way. And 8 months ago, I made that decision as I sat here every day in church for the last 3 years, having God push me to get up here, and I kept saying, nope, not doing it, not doing it. And then 8 months ago, I made that decision that I was ready to follow Christ, that I was going to live his way. And so 8 months ago, I dedicated my life to him, and that's where I'm going.
I want to be baptized because Jesus is my Savior and I want to worship him by being saved and baptized.
I want to be baptized because God has helped me through my whole life with everything that's gone on, and after seeing my child born, I really saw God work, and I just want to declare that I love him and I will follow him.
I want to be baptized today because God is filling a hole in my heart.
All right. All right, so we're going to start with, let's go oldest to youngest.
I guess that means me.
Shauna Marie McGraw, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right. All right, you're ready. Robert Jake Tinsley, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right. All right, let me pray for you all. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you just for the celebration. We thank you for the gift of salvation in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you have come, you have died for us, and you have risen again so we could rise with you. It's just a great day, Lord. I just ask again for a special blessing upon everyone here that was baptized today. We know you love them. We know that you want to bless them. And Lord, we just ask in your name. Amen. All right.